Today is the 16th of January 2014, and I'm interviewing Dick Bourne, who had close connections with Burwell Mill in the 1970s. Your father was an architect. Can you talk about his early involvement with the mill in 1969?
Well, in 1969, Fulham and Blackwell were going to build some bungalows on a nice field next to the mill. And I think the mill was actually in the field that the bungalows are going to be built in. And they could build the bungalow as long as they did the mill up. But they didn't want to do the mill up. And my father sort of got wind that the mill was, you know, as part of this deal. And so he offered Fuller and Blackwell £5 to buy the mill. But part of that deal was that he did it up. So in the early 70s, he formed the Burwell Museum Trust. And from then on, it was a sort of a slow plod over about 25 years of money raising and sort of voluntary work. Eventually got the mill commissioned in 1992. It's a bit sad because my dad died in 1990.
Yeah, so he never
saw it finished.
No. How did you develop an interest in the mill and then become involved?
When I was at art school, in Cambridge, and latterly, then I went to Brighton. In the holidays, I'd go and do a bit, and I did a couple of posters for the mill to raise money. And whenever I could, I went over to do a bit of wood hacking, you know, sort of work on the mill. And when I left art school and was working for myself, sort of doing building restoration, I sort of got involved with the mill in the sort of early 80s. And that's when I became a trustee, along with the others.
In 1974, you and Paul Halls joined the Burwell Mill Trust. Were you obviously interested in preserving the mill?
Yeah. I'll show you this picture. It's me with hair in 1975, when the sail thing lifted off.
Yes.
The wind shaft and the brake wheel.
So your practical skills came from where? Your father or...?
Well, yeah, just sort of common sense, I suppose.
Mm. Can you remember the condition of the mill?
Yeah.
It's been unused since 1955.
Yeah, it was fairly rough. It was a clunch tower that had been tarred, and the tar had come off, and the weather had sort of eroded the clunch, and the sails all drooped. The fantail had sort of collapsed, so it was in a sorry state, really.
What a daunting task.
Yeah, I know, but if you've got enough people interested, you can do anything. If there's a will, there's a way.
How many people were interested in
it? Well, there's my father and three or four others in the trust, and Paul Hawes and myself joined a bit later. Then after that, we worked on it sort of first and third Sundays in the month in the mornings. Used to sort of morning's work and go up the pub. It's quite nice.
Fundraising was an ongoing necessity.
Yeah, I wasn't really involved with it. No. Paul Hawes was quite a good chap doing fundraising. He instigated a lot of stuff.
So you were quite a young man when you got involved with this.
Did your
skills develop as you went
along?
Yeah.
I was 20 when I got first involved in it. Which is 1973. And I sort of messed around on it ever since, up until it stopped working in sort of mid-2000s. Because it just deteriorated because lack of money and enthusiasm, I suppose.
Chris Wilson, who restored Overmill, was brought in. What was his role in the restoration?
He rebuilt the cap and the sail frame. Well, restored the sail frame and put shear tree overlays on, which, I mean, it's... really, the shear tree should have been replaced and not been overlaid because it makes the fantail a bit higher. But that's... I noticed that's been done again this time, which is a bit silly, but there we are. And he sorted out the Well, my father organised the top of the mill to be rebuilt, and that was rebuilt by a bricklayer called Gilbert Levitt, who came from Swaffham Bulbeck, and he's a very good bricklayer. And then Chris put a kerb on with the rack, which is the teeth on the outside. And when the fantail was assembled, it has a pinion and gears that hang underneath the fantail. So when the mill turns into the wind, when the fantail revolves, this in turn turns the pinion, which is engaged in the rack, which in turn which moves the cap into winds it into wind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of fairly crucial to the working of the mill.
We've talked about how the volunteers were organised. They came every 2 weeks. And did everybody have specific jobs, or did you?
No, we all mucked in. My father sorted it. We used to have meetings once a month, the Windmill Trust, and we'd work out what we were going to do. And we were initialed, you know, whoever had the job. So we'd instigate what had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But I've given all my notes to the Burwell Museum, so I can't tell you. But I could have done.
Mm.
But that's all gone. Well, I mean, hopefully they've got it still.
Yes, that's just how it worked out, is it? Mm.
But the sail frame was hoisted back onto the mill in 1976.
That must have been a wonderful day.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And then the cap was rebuilt after that by Chris Wilson. Oh, yeah, no, the stock with the wind shaft was put on the mill. No, but that was in May 1976. So the stock has been up there ever since. And then that was replaced. New stock was put up there. The old stock stayed and they put sails on it. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. It's all a blur.
Mm.
But Chris Wilson rebuilt the cap and got it going. There's the cap being constructed in 1977. And the tower was rendered also in 1977.
It was a slow restoration of this complicated piece of machinery. What gave you particular pleasure and satisfaction as the work progressed? Well,
the woodwork, the clunch work, it's all the sort of mechanics of it, because I've always been mechanically minded, so it was all quite interesting for me, because, you know... Oh, 1981, Burwell Windmill Trust AGM. Oh, the speaker, Mr. Ron Neal, last man to operate the mill.
Mm-hmm.
This was February the 5th, 1981, at 7:30, the Gardner Memorial Hall. And this is the poster I knocked up.
Isn't it wonderful to look back and see these things? Well, can you tell me a bit about the completion and restoration of the restoration and the celebration of the event?
Well, there was quite a big gap. You know, there was 12 years from getting, from when that meeting I was talking about, the AGM, until the mill was commissioned. And in that time, there was a lot of work done by the volunteers. All the floors were replaced, new joists, especially the dust floor had two new beams, which we bought from a farmer in Swaffham Bulbeck called Hubert Butler at Lordship Farm. And we bought a pair of 16 foot each, a foot by a foot, long leaf pitch pine beams for £60 in 1979.
It was quite a lot of money, wasn't it?
What, for those? No, that's dirt
not
cheap, actually.
Not for that,
no,
for that
no, no,
thing.
No, if you bought that properly, it'd be about £300 or £400 at that time.
Mm.
So it was a good deal.
Mm.
Yeah. There was an awful lot of work in those few years, the 12 years before 1992. And then in 92 it was commissioned and off it went. And then I used to run it when it was windy, or whenever there was, when the museum was open, I used to run it.
At some stage,
I had my thrashing tackle working at the museum, and I was running the mill and grinding, so it was quite an experience. So I stood on the fantail looking down at the museum with my thrashing tackle in the museum working, which is quite good.
Yeah, how thrilling though, really, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So that thrashed the corn.
Yeah. I mean, I used to cut the corn in with my binder, and then I thrash it at the Fenham Fair. I mean, I did actually do contract thrashing in the mid 80s, but it wasn't economically viable for the farmers, so it stopped. But I kept all my stuff and just did it for show. But getting back to the mill, in 1986, the tower had been rendered and painted black, and all the render fell off, because if you put render around a clunch tower and you paint it black, it will fall off. And I noticed they've painted it black again, so I'll give it about 2 years and it'll fall off again.
Why do you think it does that?
Because of expansion. If you have a cylinder covered in something hard and something soft in the middle, and it gets hot one side, it moves. Then it cracks, the water gets in, the frost gets in, then it blows off. If it was painted cream, it wouldn't happen. As the millwrights agreed with me when I spoke to them the other day.
Is this because of... is this the nature of plunge? Would it happen
Have been rendered. No, it wouldn't happen to a brick one, because it wouldn't be rendered. It's only... It's not me, it's the cat. If you render anything and it's circular, it will expand and contract, especially if you paint it black. So, sadly, I mean, this is a picture of the mill in 1992, painted cream, no cracks.
Looks very smooth, doesn't it?
Painted black, it moves, it cracks, water gets in, frost damage, off we go again. Denver Mill's painted cream, so it doesn't crack. But if it was a brick tower, then you'd just tar it.
And it's a different thing altogether.
Yeah, because it's just brick. But you see, originally it was clunch with tar on it, which would move.
So what did they do to the houses in Burwell? They're just left as clunch, are they?
Well, you or put the old lime cottages. Wash on them.
Now, you're the proud possessor of a working thrashing machine, which you have used in the mill. How did this come into your...
Well, I didn't use it in the mill.
No, but you demonstrated it in the mill, didn't you?
No, I took the thrashing tackle to the museum and did a show there. But I actually thrash every year at the Fenham Fair, where I cut some wheat with my binder. And then I've got a mate with a steam engine, or several mates, so they take it in turns with their engines on the drum. And I cut 3 or 4 acres and then cart all the sheaves, tractor and trailer, to the drum, and then thrash it over a couple of 3 days.
Wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, but it's quite nice because I've actually thrashed some corn, taken it to the mill, ground it, taken it home, as flour and made bread with it. So I've cut the wheat with the binder, I've thrashed it with my drum, and I've ground it with the mill, and I've made flour, made bread, and then put it in the Rayburn and eaten it. Not on the same day, I hasten to add.
No, it took a bit longer.
Yeah.
What? I think I've only been in one mill as it was working, and that was Wickham Mill.
Swaffham Prior's a commercial mill that's worth a visit. And there was a nice chap called Mike Bullied. He had it, and he got the mill. I've actually stood on Burwell Mill, fantail, right at the top, where you climb up the fly post to oil it. And I've looked over, and I've seen Soham Mill working, I've seen Burwell Mill working, and Swaffham Prior Mill working, Burwell Mill working, which I've stood on up the fantail, and Sowham Mill working all at the same time. Because there was a spell when they all worked.
That was a rare day, wasn't it? Yes, I can remember going to see Sowham working.
Yeah, but Sowham didn't last long because they made the stocks out of box section steel, so they fell off.
Dear, dear.
Yeah, steel doesn't flex like wood.
You see, all these mills are so different, aren't they, I suppose, in their constructions. But there must be something that... there must be a standard...
Well, no, they're built for... Yeah, this, the mechanism of a mill, they're all the same, basically. But it's the structure, the building itself, they're different. Like, Swaffham Prior is a brick tower. Burwell is a clunch tower that shouldn't be rendered, but should be just tarred.
Mm.
And Burwell... Sowham Mill is... It's actually brick tower, but it looks like a smock mill because it's sort of I think it's octagonal, which is unusual instead of being circular. But then you get post mills, which are the whole frame moves tops. Around on a sort of brick base. But it's their mills are sort of built I suppose they're sort of county to county, they change. But the basic designs, they're all the same.
They're very individual towers, aren't they, I think?
Yeah.
We saw a stone one in Oxfordshire this summer, which is very different.
Yeah.
So if you had your job all over again with this mill, is there anything you'd have done differently? Or is there anything you wish had been done?
Well, it's not my mill, so it's not for me to say. But, I mean, what we did at the time, we did the best of our ability, and it worked.
I think it's fantastic what you did at the time, because you didn't have
the money. It was all voluntary work. Yeah. We didn't have the money, and we did it all ourselves. But we had Thompson's, the millwright, Tom Davis from Alford in... Lincolnshire, he's a really nice bloke, and he did quite a lot of the work and got it going.
Mm.
And Chris Wilson helped with his cap and fantail. Because Chris Wilson and I actually put the fantail axle on top of the fly posts, and it's the first time I've had to do something at height, working at height. So no safety harness, no nothing. And we winched the axle, for want of a better word, of the fantail up as high as we could. Then we had to put it on our shoulders and then climb up the fly posts and drop it into the bearings.
How terrifying.
And there's a sort of 30 to 40 foot sheer drop, but you're out in the open with this very heavy, it's about 200 weight, this lump of cast iron.
And you weren't tied on at all?
No. No, I've actually put a safety harness on once, because I used to oil the fantail when it was turning into wind for years. And I think it's when the windmill was taken over by the museum. For insurance purposes, you have to wear a safety harness. And I'd never worn one because I know if I let go, I'll fall off. So you tend to hang on because I have an oil can in my left hand and just climb up the fly posts and oil it. They insisted I wore a safety harness. So I put the safety harness on, went out up the fly post. The wind changed. The ropey thing that hangs from the safety harness got caught up in the cogs and dragged me down the fly post, so I had to climb out the safety harness when I was up the fly post.
So it's more dangerous than ever?
Yes, I never. I didn't ever wore it again.
What a terrifying thing.
But what I used to do, if it was really windy and blowing, I used to park my van underneath the fantail, so if I fell, I'd fall on the top of the van. So it's like softer.
10 foot higher.
Well, it's not about 8 foot higher.
It's not a great deal. You need a mattress.
No, it's just sort of, thought... soften the blow a bit.
You reckon?
Yeah, no, I've been up on the fantail in a gale when it's raining, when the pinion came out the rack on the curb, and it was just freewheeling, and I had to catch the fantail and slow it down, then tie it up. That was a bit scary. And another time, the mill was tied up and the wind was from the back, and it was blowing the shutters the wrong way and bending the stirrups. So I had to turn the mill into wind, and that was quite scary. So I just sat in the cap and waited and just thought it's going to get blown off, but it went round, and then I tied it up again. Done some hairy things in the mill because no one else did it. No, it's quite funny because Paul Hawes phoned me to say the windmill was squeaking. He phoned me when we had mobiles, you know, in the early days. He phoned me and he phoned up and he said, "Where are you, Dick?" I said, "Chippenham." He said, "Oh, that's right. Then can you come and oil the fantail?" I said, "Chippenham, Wiltshire." I said, "I will when I get back." But I there used to be an old boy, I can't remember his name. He lived in the bungalow right next, not the old millwright's bungalow, but Ken, his name was. I don't know if he's still alive. But he used to ring me and say, "Oh, Dick, fantail squeaking." Oh, so I used to go there and oil it.
You see, I suppose if you were a millwright...
Well, you lived on the premises, you looked after it. I used to go there every weekend and oil it, but if it rained a lot, the rain would wash the oil out of the bearings. But I noticed they put grease nipples in, grease pipes, which are okay as long as they don't get blocked.
Mm. So,
I mean, grease is better, but it's not traditional.
No.
But I suppose there's no one who wants to climb out and go up the fantail, up the fly post.
You were foolhardy enough to do it.
Well, no, I mean, it's what you do.
Well, there must be things now that have improved since those days that make life a little easier for
us. I know, but it's not, you know, they're just, you know, not. It's not a proper job, is it?
I know it isn't a proper job, but then you haven't got the proper person to look after the mill 24 hours a day, really, have you? You're making the best of a situation that isn't quite the same as it used to be.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's so safe and healthy now. I've cocked it all up. Yes. Well, like everything, you can't do anything now.
Well, would you do it now?
Yeah, of course I would.
You go up there at all?
Yeah, I go up there now. In the dark. I've been up there in the dark. Because the street lights, you get an idea where you are.
Yes.
I've been up there in the dark, in the rain, in the wind, to oil it.
Mm. You're a courageous man, aren't
you? Not really. No, you just do it.
Mm.
It really There's a picture in here of me doing it.
It came part of you, I think, didn't it, almost?
Oh, yeah. No, I enjoyed it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Great experience, I should
It was,
think.
Yeah.
Have you had anything comparable to it?
Well, I've always been interested... Well, the thrashing tackle and all my... That's all sort of similar sort of stuff. You have to look after that.
Mm.
But it's not working at heights, so to speak.
No, it's not as dangerous, is it?
No. Mm. I've had some funny experiences at the mill because because there wasn't clamps on the stock, there's wedges you bang in with a sledgehammer and packers in the canister. So when the mill revolves, the stock will stay still in the canister. And it was slightly jumping every time it went round. So to sort this out, you've got to put the sails horizontally. And you climb out the storm hatch and you get a sledgehammer and you stand on the canister and you bang the wedges in, which is a bit hairy because it's just a sheer drop. And I was doing that and I heard this voice saying, "How long are you going to be?" I said, "Watch it." "I'm watching telly and the sails are stopping my satellite dish. I can't see the telly." So I was amused by that. I wanted to say something, but I didn't.
Restrained.
Yeah. No, I've had several experiences at the mill which have been amusing.
Yes. Do you remember any other stories?
Mm. Well, that's one of the funniest ones. Mm. The hairiest ones is when the fantail breaks loose and you've got to go up there and catch it.
Oh, dear, Dick. Yes.
But I've done that, been there, got the T-shirt.
I've come to the conclusion that millers must have been quite a breed apart.
Well, no, it's, anything with machines, you've got to, it's like anyone, you know, the steam engine or any working machine, you've got to know how it works and how to look after it. Mm. And if you don't be involved with it.
Mm.
Because you can hurt yourself and hurt other people.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right, can I go now?
Yes, thank you very much.